What about three?
I'll get you in just a minute, Tom. What about three? If we say that three is the Godhead, or God, if that's symbolic of God, and we've got three different senses. You've got hearing and touch and seeing. I have used my senses and I've touched him. I've heard him talk. I have seen him in person. I know him to be real. Is that the lesson that he is attempting to project, Tom?
Just along what you said, the first word perceived is what means to stare at and to discern clearly. And then to look upon is to look closely at.
Okay. Tom says that, and I forgot which one. One of them was to stare, and one of them was to look closely at, to observe. But it's amazing that the numbers and the sets that are used to describe something in the Bible, that you read that particular verse, and, oh yeah, I understand that. But when you think about it, do we understand it? And in many instances, no, I don't. I just read right over the top of it. All right. What time am I supposed to stop? 1:15. Okay, I've got a little time then, I guess. All right. Number four. Four would seemingly have an application as far as earthly. Weakness. Man's failure towards God, his relation to his Creator, material completeness, creation, things to do with the earth. Four world powers, four living creatures, four wheels, four judgments, four tables, four corners of the altar, four carpenters, four chariots, four horns, four kinds of soil, four corners of the earth, four seasons, four. We go back to 1 John. Why did he use four? Because he was talking about my senses, and my senses saw something of God. Number five, five books in the law. There were five ingredients of the anointing oil used to anoint individuals. David took five smooth stones. There was five wise and five foolish virgins. There was five loaves and two fishes. There was 10 commandments, but there were five and five. Abraham's sacrifice at the particular juncture, there was five of them. God's covenant was with Abraham. There was a heifer, and there was a goat, and there was a ram, and there was a turtle dove, and there was a pigeon. Why five? Paul, the apostle, said he'd rather speak five words with understanding than 10,000 without understanding. Revelations talks about locusts for 5 months. Five seems to have an application that man is responsible to God, that it signifies covenant, a bond that is made between God and man. Number six. Number six appears to be an application as far as mankind. It's not perfect. It's manifestation of evil. It's incompleteness. He was created on the sixth day. six things does the Lord hate? There were six water pots that Christ turned into wine. On the sixth hour began darkness. 666 is the number of a man or the number of man, depending upon how you look at that. When the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt, there were six things that they wanted, or six things that they remembered. The leeks and the onions and the cucumbers and the fish and the garlic. Number seven. Seventh day God rested. 7 years in the agricultural cycle. 7 times 7 plus 1, a year of Jubilee. And I find this fascinating. Why did the ark rest on the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, Mount Ararat? Passover to Pentecost was 7 weeks plus 1 day. 7 blessings to Abraham. They marched around the city of Jericho 7 times. You're told to forgive your brother 70 times 7. Why was that number used? There are 7 letters to the churches. There are 7 candlesticks and 7 angels and 7 churches and 7 stars. There were 7 things that God promised to the children of Israel in the promised land. You remember that they wanted 6 things. Well, God promised them 7. Well, why didn't he just promise them 6? Is there a significance to the 6 and a significance to the 7? He promised them wheat and barley and vines and olive oil and honey and figs and pomegranates. 7 seems to be a fullness or a completeness or a spiritual perfection. It's everything. They wanted something when the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt. They wanted food. They wanted something imperfect. God says, hey, I've got something that is perfect for you. That's the significance that I see. Number 8, I find fascinating. Number 8 is a new beginning or a setting apart or the first of a new series. Year of Jubilee. Why was it 7 times 7 and then plus 1? They started all over. Noah was the 8th person. Why circumcision on the 8th day? A new beginning. They became a person of Israel. They weren't just common anymore. They were circumcised. They became under the jurisdiction of God. Special people. 8th day, the priest entered the work. Cleansing of the lepers. 8 souls were saved by flood. The Feast of the Tabernacles was kept for 8 days. There were 7 graces, but then he says love is the best. Why was there 7 plus 1? Abraham's sons, he had 7. But there was 1 by promise. Philippians, the 4th chapter in verse number 8, he says there's 8 things that I want you to think about. Number 9. Christ's crucifixion, darkness was at the 9th hour. There's 9 spiritual gifts. The healing of the 10 lepers. The question was asked, where's the other 9? The 9 fruits of the Spirit. Seemingly it's a number of finality or judgment or ingratitude or the conclusion or end. Number 10. Ten Commandments. 10 times the children of Israel tempted Jehovah. 10 things does not separate us from the love of God. You have 10 fingers and 10 toes. Why not 11? There's 10 plagues upon Egypt. There was 10 kings, 10 horns, 10 crowns in Revelations. Seemingly, it's completeness of order. It's a complete cycle. It's man's responsibility to God. It's perfection of the divine order, the fullness of the earth, things for common use. Number 11. 11 apostles. They were gathered together. The 11th hour. The 11 sons of Jacob. One is not. And you go back to the 11th apostles. Judas had hung himself. One was not. But 11 apostles gathered together. Judas, not there. 1,100 pieces of silver was a price offered for where Samson's strength lay. That's what the princes offered Delilah to give her that information. 11 seems to be disorder or imperfection or betrayal or incompleteness. Number 12. 12 stones for an altar. Why? Well, that's just 12 tribes of Israel. Is that all? There was 12 apostles. There was 12 tribes. In Revelations, there's 12 gates and 12 angels and 12 names and 12 foundations and 12 precious stones and 12,000 furlongs. In the Bible, there's 12 persons recorded as being anointed. Jesus is 12 years old when he speaks the first time. I must be about my Father's business. 12 times 12, 144,000, a symbolic number pointing to religious or spiritual ideas. Governmental perfection, God's partnership with man, relationship to people, worship with families, seemingly may be an application. Skipped 40. Moses' life divided into 3 different segments, 40 years apiece. Moses was 40 days and nights on the mountain getting the law. 40 days was the spies in Canaan spying out the land, and that equaled 40 years in wandering. Saul, David, and Solomon reigned 40 years each. Jesus was with his disciples for 40 days. Jesus was tempted for 40 days. Is there any significance in this grouping of 40? Perhaps trials, testing, full generations of people. Now I get in trouble. Double and triple numbers. Evidently, and information is very limited, or at least I haven't been able to find much. The doubling of a number, it seems to have emphasis. Now you go back to holy, holy, holy. That's a cripple. What's the significance? The only thing that I can come up with is it's emphasis with an individual pounding the. It's emphasis with force. Six is imperfect. 666 is most imperfect. Now, fractions. There are fractions that are used within the Bible. I have not tried to go through them and list them other than what I what you see there. One of the particular things I was asked to cover was what does the numerator stand for and what does the denominator stand for? I don't know. I cannot find anybody in the books that I have read and people that I have talked with. No one has been able to tell me what the numerator and denominator, what the significance is. All that I can come up with fractions is that it's a third of a particular number or a fourth of the number or whatever. And if you've got answers, I would appreciate knowing because I don't. The only other number that I'm going to deal with is infinity. And there is many instances within the Bible of infinity being used, and a great multitude, the dust of the earth, the stars of heaven, the sand which is upon the seashore. It's not numbers, it's words, but those words equal out the numbers, and it's a huge number. I don't know what that number is, but it's infinity. All right, let's talk just for a few minutes as far as how all these numbers get started. And the closest thing that I can come up with is that the Sumerians were the individuals that first began thinking in terms of symbolic numbers. Hammurabi, the Code of Hammurabi, you probably studied in high school or college. There's evidence in the text that the Babylonians had regarding seven as a number of completeness or totality. The Sumerians equated seven and the word all together. In the Epic of Gilgamesh, it was regularly used the number seven. Pythagoras, you know about the Pythagorean theorem. The source of various qualities and manner was the basis of meaningful knowledge of the universe. The followers of Pythagoras expanded his ideas until almost every number was given some value symbolically. He believed that the even numbers was soluble, feminine, and pertain to the earth. The odd numbers was masculine and celestial. From about 400 BC to 15 BC, numbers 3, 4, 7, 10, and 12 occur regularly within various writings. The New Testament, many numbers are used, but apart from the book of Revelation, and there's that's a mistake there, with apart from the book of Revelation, and you have Daniel, and you have Ezekiel, and some of those books, probably not used with real symbolic intentions, although Cornelius intrigues me, and there are other numbers that intrigues me in the New Testament, but you're going to find the vast majority, I think, in the prophecies of Daniel and Ezekiel. Irenaeus was a severe critic of numerology, and his reasoning is every sort of hypothesis may be devised by anyone, insomuch that numbers can be turned in many different directions, and I think that's true. Justin Martyr supported numerical type thinking, and it was based mainly upon Pythagoras. Augustine supported. Now, where did I get all my information? I'm not this smart. I used four different books. I talked to Mike Kirby, I talked to Charles Cripe, I talked to Keith, and I've heard Rick Sparks, and I've heard John Morris give lessons. Now, from all of these different sources, I put together what I've given you today. I don't know that anybody's got all the answers. I certainly don't. And with that, I'm going to stop. If you have questions or if you have comments, I will take them. I don't guarantee any answers. Tom was, for the sake of the recording, Tom was talking about the fraction being a half, and says that he thinks that's one of the important fractions. Anyone else? Numerology is going farther than I want to go. I hope from the presentation that I've made today that when you pick up the Bible and you read it, that you stop and you look and you think about the various numbers that are used. Some of them, I think, have significance. Others, my question, and I don't know that my thinking is right, but I have developed a greater appreciation for what I see within the Bible as a interweaving of God's word and his work and the numbers and everything together in a way that is, man can't do it, I can't do it, you can't do it. It was only done by God. And you take the Bible and you realize that it was written on three different continents. It was written over a period of 1,500 years. It was written by statesmen. It was written by farmers. It was written by fishermen. It written by kings, and all of these individuals, and the Spirit of God working in each of them, and incorporating all of these little things in there, that it's a marvelous book. It's not something that is just common. It's not old-fashioned. It may be old-fashioned, but it's not old-fashioned in a bad sense. And it's amazing when you start breaking it down and looking at actually what it says. Tom was making a comment as far as Pythagoras, believing the even numbers was feminine and the odd numbers masculine. I have completed it, right? I guess you're free.